Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. Please take a moment to visualize ourselves standing alongside the devotees who are right now inching their way, ever so gently, in perfect silence, towards the pure white marble Mahasannidhi, the holiest of shrines that confers blessings upon all who approach it. With prayers on their lips and hearts full of devotion, rows of devotees in the Sai Kulwant Hall are still charged with the energy of the Vedam and the Bhajans and the Mangalarti that they have just concluded there. On behalf of the entire Radio Sai team, let us begin Morning Glory by offering loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the heart and soul, the ears and voice of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and thank you for joining us on Thursday Live, the morning dedicated to Sadguru Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today is September the 10th, 2015, and the time at our studios right now is exactly 38 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna, and I'm delighted to have your company on this segment called Morning Glory, which I will be hosting till 11 a.m. Just a few hours ago, Prashanthi Nilayam woke up to yet another glorious morning with everything looking freshly washed, as we had some heavy rains last night. It is pretty nice and cool this morning with just a tinge of humidity in the air, I guess due to the sporadic rains that we have been experiencing at the tail end of the monsoon season. Today, we will have a daytime high of 30 degrees Celsius in the afternoon and a picture-perfect low of 22 degrees Celsius overnight. Every morning, for the past 65 years, this ashram has been waking up to daily prayers like the early morning Omkar and Nagar Sankirtan and the twice a day Vedam and Bhajans. These chantings and congregational singing have charged the air of Prashanthi Nilayam with energizing vibrations. That is why, I guess, as soon as we walk through the gates of this ashram, a feeling of happiness and calm just descends over us. And from the lobby of our Radio Sai office in the ashram, it's just so nice to stand there and watch the world go by, each face looking serene and happy without a care in the world. I'm pretty sure that this power to confer joy and somehow magically erase our mental burdens has got to do something with the fact that for the 65 long years, every single day, without a break, intense prayers have taken place here. And these are congregational prayers which become even more powerful. Well, you see, the Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram was inaugurated in 1950 on Baba's 25th birthday. Ever since that day, for the past 6.5 decades, that is 65 years, a minimum of 3 times a day prayers have taken place. If we do a rough calculation, that comes to 22,630 days with 3 intense sessions each day. So you multiply that by 3 and it turns out to a grand total of about 71,000 sessions and counting of prayers. And what is more important, each of these 71,000 prayer sessions had thousands of devotees participating actively. Now add to this number the annual Navaratri Yagnas, the Atirudrams and other special prayers that take place around the year in this ashram. So imagine the millions of prayers offered here by millions of devotees in the name of the Lord. Bhagwan often said that every speck of dust of the holy land of Bharat or India is sacred, for it is charged with the power of penance performed by our ancient rishis, our spiritual scientists. By the same yardstick, how much more power is there in the grains of sand here in this ashram called Prashanti Nilayam, where these many prayers are happening every single day? It really is this power of prayers that has charged the atmosphere, dynamized it with divine vibrations, so much so that devotees find every leaf, every plant, every tree, every holy idol, be it that of Lord Jesus or Lord Buddha or Lord Ganesha or Hanumanji or Gayatri Mata, everything here feels alive and breathing. Thoughts manifest into reality effortlessly over here. That, dear listeners, is the pure and holy power of Prashanti Nilayam, the seat of supreme truth, ultimate beauty, and all things auspicious. And luckily for us, along with heavenly blessings, even the weather these days in Prashanti continues to be pleasant with, as I told you, short spells of rain, mostly in the evenings and at night. Meanwhile, wherever you are, dear listeners, here is wishing you a downpour of divine grace straight from Prashanti Nilayam through this live broadcast. May your day or night ahead, depending on which time zone you are in, be filled with Swami's divine grace, guidance, protection and blessings. Today on Morning Glory, I have lined up second part of each of the two interviews I played for you last week. The first one is Learning with Love with Mrs. Priya and Mr. Sanjay Tandon of Chandigarh. Coming from an illustrious family of long-time devotees, Mr. Tandon is active in Indian politics. He is the president of the Chandigarh chapter of BJP, the political party that is ruling India currently under Prime Minister Modi. You heard part one of this interview last week, and part two will be played today in just a few moments. This will be followed by part two of my colleague Mr. Bishu Prushti's interview, again Learning with Love conversation with Mr. Radhakrishnan Nair of Prashanti Nilayam. Last week you heard part one right here on Morning Glory. And, dear brothers and sisters, I promise I'm going to play for you a brand new musical offering at the lotus feet of our Sadhguru Sai from Team Radio Sai in between the two interviews. And just to give you a heads up, it's a medley which you're going to love, as it's dedicated to the coolest cowherd ever, the one who stole a million hearts with his music. Remember, he played the flute and with his bewitching looks. So, first, you can enjoy listening to the part two or conclusion of my Learning with Love interview with Mr. and Mrs. Tandon of Chandigarh. This will be followed by the medley, and then I will bring you part two of our Learning with Love interview with Mr. Radhakrishnan Nair of Prashanti Nilayam. So please stay tuned to Morning Glory and enjoy the show.
I have tried in my life, following Swami's advice that, Nar Seva is Narayan Seva. Mm. Actual mein Narayan does not come in front of you. Mm. And any human being who's suffering, if you do not help them, then there's no point of, going to the temple and just offering everything to the temple. But somebody close to your house, somebody close to your area of your stay, somebody you know or you do not know, that those people are suffering because of, these small things. Just try and be of some help to them. So when we taught these things to our children too, I can narrate in one of the incidents where when my son, he got the first paycheck, and he said that I want to do something different. And can you imagine, like, he ordered 100 blankets, and in the north the it's pretty cold in the winters, and at that point of time both of them put blankets in their car. At around midnight they left for 3-4 hours. They kept on going on all the streets of Chandigarh, and wherever somebody was sitting there or lying or sleeping, so they would quietly go and put a blanket on them So I would say the teachings which they've got, and I should give full marks to my kids rather, because number of things when she used to teach them shlokas as a Balvikas children, and I never learned those shlokas earlier, but while my children were reciting, so possibly I was the fourth children for her, you know, even I was learning, and there were so many instances. You know, Swami has helped us in small incident. Like once I remember, we were here for 3 days and Swami did not even look at us. And the third day when we were going, and he just pointed out and he called everyone. And while he closed the door, he started speaking like my little child, Satyam, because Satyam was cribbing sitting outside that, we are here for the last so many days. Swami doesn't even look at us and he doesn't care for us. And the moment he closed the door in the interview room, he said, Satyam says, you don't even look at me. You don't even see me. And he exactly imitated the way Satyam had spoken a few moments back. So I think he's omnipresent. He knows all what you are doing, and he knows all what we are doing, and every time he would give us you know, some suggestion wherever we are able to have some precious moment with him. So Swami has been I would say a, you know, playing the part of a soul in our body, and sitting in office many times, you know, you come across a situation and I look at Swami's face and I would get an answer. Okay, that's the right way. So somewhere or the other, you know, he keeps on telling us at each point of time.
Hmm. Mr. Tandon, I just feel compelled to ask you this. What you're saying is, Sai devotees can all resonate with it, but not many of us are in the position that you are in, which is in your political capacity. The party that you represent for Chandigarh is the party that brought Prime Minister Narendra Modi into power, and India voted massively for it, and we have heard Swami say that politics without principle is dangerous and worthless. Now, a year into the government, we are hearing of the same sort of routine charges of scams and corruptions and scandals, and of course there is nothing has been proven without an iota of doubt, but many things are pretty obvious. Things are not as we had, people of India had dreamt that suddenly India will become corruption free and our political system will all be honest and systematic. What are your thoughts on that? If there are people like yourselves who believe in Swami and what Swami says, you know, everything, science without humanity, commerce without morality, education without character, politics without principles is not only useless but positively dangerous. There are men like yourself, there's men like Prime Minister Modi who has spoken of very high moral ground. And today what is playing out before our eyes is the same old system which seems to be rife with a lot of unpleasantness and corruption and lack of principles.
You see, this is a very good question, and which everyone should understand that nothing in life would happen in a second or in a moment. The procedure for changing any system, you see, for the last 67 years of our independence, there is some system which have been working. This government, since the time it has assumed office, the you must understand, there was the balance of a payment position in terms of dollars that was pretty bad. The position in the budgetary position, that was also very you know, on the negative side. Then there was the growth of the GDP growth was somewhere between 4 to 5%.
I understand that you inherited a lot of
No, I'm coming to the point. I'm coming to the point. You see, the corrupt practices which were being followed in the last 10 years, you would have noticed there were 200 odd scams. Now for a river to become cleaner and to become pious, it is very important that the starting of the river, unless or until the Gangotri is clean, the Ganga cannot be clean. So in this process, I would say that the path has been cleaned to the extent that from where the beginning is being made, that path is clear, cleaner, and there is a clear vision which is in front of us today. There are a number of activities I can talk about which this present government has come out with. But the point here is the delivery mechanism down below, you know, that will take some time to change. You cannot expect those things to happen overnight.
But you speak of delivery mechanism, but there is such a nexus between people in power, people controlling things like cricket, Bollywood in this country. They all hand in glove. The same set of people seem to have a finger in every pie. And while on the platform, we hear of all these promises of the teachings of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba about the glory of Bharat being revived and a country that is like an elephant that's forgotten its strength. But in practice, again, it's so much of overlap of the same set of people who control the same set of power. They're all, many of them, for example, might be in the business of law and they know how to work around the various rules and regulations. Same set of players again and again.
No, I would say that this is the changing time, the transitionary period for the country. The transitionary period, you would always find that these things will keep on, you know, the old things will keep on haunting you somewhere or the other. The downtrodden were totally forgotten lot so far as the country was concerned. Policy was not clear. Like a number of things have, there's a one problem which earlier was happening was the federal structure of our country was put to test. Like, you know, everybody was looking forward to or looking up to the central government all the time. Now, this government has done a very big decision, which is that, you know, giving 42% of the national collection out of the taxes to the state governments, which was earlier 30 or 32%. There's a 10 to 12% jump which has been provided by this government, because all the major small things which touch a common man are the state subjects.
So we're talking about corruption, not about the schemes. Every government comes on a... We're talking about Swami's principles and the lack of them in public life. What you're enumerating is some very good positive steps that the Modi government might have taken to make life of Indians better. But it was elected to do so, and that is its job and mandate. If it works well, it's not news, because that's what governments are supposed to do. Is it easy in today's age and day to be an honest politician? Is that even possible, to be a clean, honest politician and to survive? Because challenges, as we are seeing, are in every single party. For example, we may see some people who claim to be honest and devoted to the country within your own party, and there are others who don't seem to be, who seem to put personal interest before national interest. So how can an honest politician in today's age and day survive and follow Swami's teachings? Is that an impediment? Is that an obstacle to be honest, clean and devoted to the country?
No, I would say that first of all, you need to keep your wants limited. As unless or until, there was a few days back, I think your heart to heart, which comes every day to us. There's a story which is quoted by Swami. There is a monkey's story where the monkeys are caught in India. So they would put something like
peanuts.
some peanuts into that pot, and the monkey would put his hand in that, and now he holds those peanuts, and now he's not able to leave those peanuts, and due to the reason his hand becomes a fist there, and he's not able to take his hand out of that pot. So that's how he gets caught. So I think this particular story applies in every person's life. If you are able to keep your wants away,
if you are stealing on desires,
yes, if you are able to keep that aside, now study the life of our Prime Minister, Mr. Modi. In his residence as a Prime Minister, none of his own family member has ever been able to enter or even stay there. He's a man who works for more than 16 to 18 hours a day. And everything he's hands-on with, you know, the information. And he's applied that principle, whatever even the gifts which he is receiving as a Prime Minister, as earlier as a Chief Minister, he would put them to an auction. And after that auction, the amount was, donated to the Save the Girl Child. For that particular process they had given. So I would say it is not difficult, but the ceiling on desire, people are not able to do that. And before, there's one principle which our party has been following, is that the first is the country, second is your party, and third is you yourself. Now what had happened earlier is that it was the reverse. The first interest, the politician used to think that it is me, and then if something is left over, maybe for my party, and then after that, if something is left over, then maybe my country gets the help. So I would say that the things have changed now, and the upper level, the upper strata, I would say, the cabinet, the people in the party, the people in the government, they have changed that particular process, and they are quite clear in their minds, and they are even showing it to the public. So the upper class in terms of the government is cleaner and it is visible. The time will take its own, it'll take some more time for the clarity to come down to the level of a common man feeling the same. At times, you know, when you person feels that when there's not a good road in front of his house, he feels that what is the advantage of a new government to me? My road is not done. Now, you know, for the process to come through, the local government needs to have funds. Now, the process has begun that you have given more rights to the states. Now, the states need to give more rights to the corporations, to the local authorities. The first of all, these things are like electricity, the roads, and the water. These are the three basic things which are required by the people. So once these things, they start happening, people will realize that, yes, there's a change in the government. Everyone feels that there's no change in my own life. So they feel that the government has not changed. But I can narrate you 20 more things, if you allow me, that number of schemes, but you mentioned that the schemes are schemes in their own way, but at least the people should.
These are things we hear on news, but people want to see the change. Next time we go to a public office to get a small thing done, it would be so nice if the person there across the table from you did not shamelessly ask for a bribe, or did not say that it will take so long, although the website says it has to be processed in 6 weeks' time. For example, a simple document like a death certificate, it doesn't even come for months together. So there are so many hiccups that common people face, and you know, all this talk that we hear, we keep wondering, when will that golden age come that Swami spoke, when Bharat will have its previous glory come back, and there will be Dharma, Ram Raja, that Swami spoke of. So far we hear of the rhetoric, but it hasn't, as you said, trickled to people's lives, and it is.
No, I'll give you one example. Like, you might have seen that in the coal mines, this scam. So there was a scam of 64 mines in which it was estimated to be possibly 1,86,000 crores of rupees. And you'll be surprised to know that the whole auction was put in such a transparent manner. And 20 mines were auctioned for more than 2 lakh crore of rupees. So you can imagine that the amount, earlier it used to be that one particular family or one particular ruler would issue a chit to someone, and he would get to have the control of the mines to their advantage, and then that man would go and sell the company for thousands of crores. Now who's the loser? It's the country which was the loser. And now this government has decided that all the natural resources of a particular area, whatever is being auctioned shall go to that state government. Now the state government is getting to have all those minerals, and you tell me what was happening for Bihar or Jharkhand or Chhattisgarh. These were the states which were contributing as the maximum minerals and the natural resources of the country. Now today when these people, this particular states, they get that advantage, you will find those even Adivasis, you know, coming up, those Adivasis, if you go and meet them, you will realize that they are the people who have not even seen a rail in their life. They have not seen a bus service into their area. So they are far away from the development at all. Even some of them, they visited us in Chhattisgarh, and they mentioned how this fan works, you know, like, so you push a button and the fan starts working. So that's the kind of, I would say, primitivity in our society. It's somewhere or the other. We need to see all those things. The things are changing. The mindset is changing, but it has to start somewhere, you know. Like supposing you have to clean your own house, what will happen is that your house, you will make a beginning from one corner. You cannot make a beginning from the start, the entry of your house. You cannot make a beginning from the center of the house. You will make a beginning from one side, and as the dirt would will be thrown out. And that process is on in the country. And I'm sure number of people in the world have realized this. Number of people in the country are realizing this. Down on the street, there is number of realizations which have been achieved by the common man. But yes, your question is still intact, that when I go to make a license somewhere, now that license needs to be delivered to me immediately, or whatever is the time frame within which...
Without a bribe, which is still a pipe dream for many of us, actually.
I think there's a mindset which has to begin, you know. But I am sure within next 2-3 years, you will see that change down below.
All right. Thank you for that.
Priya? I wanted to share one personal experience where Swami showed me how omnipresent He is. We always talk about Swami being with us, and He always tells us that He is omnipresent. There's this particular incident. There is this Ramayan serial that was made by Ramanand Sagar, and we have been watching it very passionately. There is a incident in that, this is just before the wedding of Lord Ram to Sita ji. It is called the Gauri Pujan. So at that time, Sita ji goes to pray in Gauri Ma's temple, and while she is praying, the garland on the deity falls on her head while she is prostrating at the feet of the deity. So at one time I had dreamt that I am in a similar situation, and I am bowing to the deity, and the garland fell on my head. And at that moment I woke up with a start, and I just looked around and I thought, is this real? Is this a blessing? Or I was dazed. Anyways, that being done, I forgot all about it. 2 years down the line, I was in the interview room with Swami, and during the course of our conversation with Him, I told Him that, Swami, I prayer mein dhyan nahi lagta, that I'm not able to concentrate in prayer, and my mind is always running from here to there and wavers a lot. So He said, you don't have to sit down and pray. You can keep remembering me in the course of your daily chores, and I'm always with you. I'm in you, with you, around you. I'm always with you. And then He said, I came in your dream. The garland fell on your head. And you got up and you were doubting if I was there. Why do you doubt me, Ma? I'm always with you.
So beautiful, my God.
So, you know, it's like Swami can prove himself to you in other things, but to be able to be part of my dream and then tell me 2 years later that he came in my dream, it was amazing, you know. I had no words. Otherwise also, you know, whenever I was in Swami's physical presence, I don't know what would happen, and I would just keep on crying. I just could not control my tears. And Swami made fun of me once, and he said, washerless taps.
Keep dripping all the time, running all the time.
So Swami, you know, he told me that he is omnipresent, not to the extent of being here in the physical world, but even in my dream world, he's always with me.
You see, in one of the incidents, if I don't quote, I feel our interview won't be complete.
Please.
Because if anyone would ask us, what is the most glorious moment of ours with Swami, that's the one. In one of the interviews, while it looked like that the interview is getting over, and Swami asked me, what do you want? I said, Swami, I have everything. I had come to know earlier people would ask for a ring or for a watch or something. And I said, Swami, your blessings. And he said, that is always with you. Tell me, what do you want? I said, Swami, can you put your feet on my head? Swami said, kya bolta? So,
what are you saying?
What are you saying? So I said, Swami, please put your feet on my head. I think that will be the biggest blessing. He said, okay, come. So I lied down right in front of him, just put my head close to his feet. And he put both of his feet on my head.
Oh, wow.
And possibly that was the most glorious moment of my life. And so he looked up to her and he asked, what about you? She said, same, Swami. And,
absolute copycat.
And then she also lied down. She also got the blessing of Swami's feet.
So, you know, we have that moment etched in our memory on his head and one foot of Swami's was on my head.
Oh.
And that's Swami the most precious moment of our life.
So, you put your head near the footstool or?
Yes. There was no footstool in the interview room.
Okay. Yeah.
So we had put I didn't want to get up. And now Swami realized that this guy is getting greedy now. And then he said, hey, don't go to sleep now. Get up.
I don't blame you for not wanting to get up.
It looked like that if my life ends like this, it would be the greatest thing, you know. Because beyond that, you don't expect anything to happen in life. And whenever I am in some doubt in my life, whenever I feel that there is some question in my mind, or possibly even in her mind, we think of that moment. It brings back, everything to us. And I would say without telling you that...
I know, and I've never heard of anything like this. It may have happened to someone else, but at least in Radio Sai, I don't remember recording ever an experience such as this.
As I'm narrating to you, even my eyes can't hold themselves.
Teardrops, joy, bliss drops, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. And it is during this interview that we had asked Swami if we could have a picture with him.
Mm.
And he allowed us to have a picture. And the picture was being taken, you know, Swami put his hand on Sanjay's shoulder. And I was always so tongue-tied in his presence. I wanted him to put his other hand on my shoulder, but I couldn't say it. So I just kept looking at him, hoping that he'll understand. And then he tells me, you look to him means I look to Sanjay. And he looks to me. So he directed the picture saying that I should look at my husband and my husband should look at Swami. And he said it with so much meaning that for me, this is my mantra for life. That Swami asked me to look to my husband. So for in each and everything that I do in life, you know, I always look up to him, and Swami guides him, Swami guides us together. This is the age of women's lib and all. But for me, my life is all around my husband and Swami and my kids. That's the way Swami wanted me to live my life. That's the direction he gave me.
I'm so lucky that her feelings, they pass through me to Swami.
Well, they did play out with your visit, right? Mm-hmm. Swami guided you to bring both of you here right now.
So he's like, you know, he's the holding the steering wheel of our car.
And that's the choice you have made. So you are exercising your choice.
I always feel, you know, like you hear of equality between men and women. And like they say, you know, you are the two wheels of the vehicle. But I always feel, you know, like when you're driving, of course, there are two front wheels, but the steering wheel is only one. And only one person can hold it and steer the car. So you have to choose which one of you is going to lead the way. Mm. And Swami's guided me and directed me that the steering wheel is in his hand.
And
it's our feeling which brought me here. Of course, it's Swami's grace. But I'm sure that
she was
quietly praying. And one I would say that I would give her full marks for not pushing me into it. I fell into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure when you are pushing somebody to follow something, you know, somebody would develop a resistance for it. And she was careful about it, and she never told me that you do this or that. And somewhere or the other, you know, there is an attraction which God only knows how to do that. And I'm sure there was something good for me in the offing, and God attracted me to it.
Well, it's been so wonderful to listen to your experiences and your life lessons at the Lotus Feet. Did you want to add anything?
I, you know, just wanted to tell you that I lost my mother 4 years back, and Swami had given a shivling to my mom. He had created one, and she used to offer, you know, she used to do the shnan for the shivling every day. And during her last days, I was helping her with it. So whatever came in her mind, she told me that after I'm gone, you take this. So her shivling is with me. And I used to do puja to the shivling, offering water and saying Om Namah Shivaya. And some months down the line, after the shivling came to me, Swami came in my dream, and he gave me 3 shivlingams. And there was some water also in my palm along with the shivlings that he gave. And then he asked me to put them into a little box. And as I turned my palm towards the box, the shivlings became many. And I was not able to understand what he means by 3 and then becoming so many. So I looked at him, and then he said, you can also create. You only don't know it. You have to realize it. So he taught me that, you know, if you have, God is within each one of us, but only when we realize that God is latent within us and we start following his teachings, maybe he becomes patent in our lives. So he taught me that, and each day as we move forward, you know, we feel his presence more and more. I feel very blessed. You know, as I told you, my mother gave her shivling to me. And my father passed away 9 days ago. He had Swami's ring, you know, the green stone ring, which is Swami's Green Brigade, as they call. And he gave that ring to me for my son, Shivane. And I often wonder, you know, my father has 12 grandchildren, and he chose my son to take care of his ring. And I ask myself this question, that out of all 12 of them, why this one? And the answer is only because Swami loves him a lot, and it's a, you know, special blessing. So Swami has, you know, shown us that it's not just that we love him, he loves us more. And we are blessed.
And to add to that, when this ring was given to Shivane, Shivane asked us 2 days back that since you are going there, I am not going to accept the ring as it is. Please go and place this ring at Mahasamadhi and pray to Swami. If Swami allows, I will take this ring. So whatever he suggested, we did that, and it was the ring was placed there. So we prayed to Swami. The ring is with us in this visit, and the Swami blessed the ring again. Now we are taking it back for our son.
So wonderful that Swami is the cornerstone of your lives and that of your children as well, that yes. It has trickled down to the next yes. generation.
We are blessed that Swami has given us wonderful children, and we are blessed that he's given us each other. You know, to have a spouse who's able to identify with the way you think, because I see a lot of women struggling with husbands yes. who just don't think alike.
Exactly.
And then they don't know what to do. Mm. So it's a very big blessing that we are able to understand each other's thoughts, and we are able to walk together, and our children are also holding our hands. You know, they're not looking this way and that way. Like, you know, you see the chariot, Arjuna's chariot, where Krishna was the charioteer. So they have four horses, and you know, if you have four horses each trying to go in his own direction, the chariot is not going to go anywhere. So you have one person who's going to guide and guard and direct, then I'm sure life is going to be good.
Absolutely. Yeah. On that happy note, I thank you, Priya Tandon and Brother Sanjay Tandon, for sharing your wonderful experiences and lessons that you've learned at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet with Radio Sai listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sairam. Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard the conclusion of my two-part Learning with Love interview with Mrs. Priya and Mr. Sanjay Tandon of Chandigarh. We look forward to your feedback. Please write to us by email, and you, as always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Up next is the Learning with Love interview that my colleague Mr. Bishu Prushti has concluded with Mr. Radha Krishnan Nair of Prashanthi Nilayam. But first, before I play that, let's take a bliss break with my favorite Lord Krishna. Here then is the Radio Sai Janmashtami offering of a Krishna Bhajans medley. Please enjoy it, and then the interview with Mr. Nair. Thank you for your company, and please stay tuned to Rest of Morning Glory till we meet next Thursday. Jai Sai Ram.
Krishna Krishna Gopala, Dwapara Yugane.
వసుదేవనందన గోపాల వసుదేవనందన గోపాల యశోద నందన గోపాల యశోద నందన గోపాల సాయి 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 గోపాల
Krishna Gopala
ಯಮನ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿ ಮಾಧವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಭಜಮನ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿ ಮಾಧವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಭಜಮನ ನಾರಾಯಣ
Krishna Jai Shri Krishna Radhe Radhe
Radhe Krishna Radhe Krishna Jai Shri Krishna Radhe
Shri Krishna Parati Krishna Jai Krishna Radhe Radhe
Shri Krishna Parati Krishna Jai Krishna Radhe Radhe
Radhe Krishna Radhe Krishna Jai Shri Krishna Radhe Radhe
Radhe Krishna Radhe Krishna Jai Shri Krishna Radhe Radhe
Radhe Krishna Radhe Radhe
ನಟವರ ನಂದಲಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ನಟವರ ನಂದಲಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಹೇ ಗಿರಿಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಗೀತ ಚೋರ ಯಶೋರ ನವನೀತ ಚೋರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಚೋರ ಯಶೋದಾ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ನವನೀತ ಚೋರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಗೋರಗನಧರ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋಪಾಲ
ಗೋರಗನಧರ
ಗೋಪಾಲ
चोरा यशोदा के बाल नवनीत चोर गोपा.
May I ask you to share some of your experiments with love in the corporate world?
Okay, I'll try, because you know the way the fundamental experiment that I do every time I do anything in the corporate world is to make my team feel loved. That's the fundamental, that's where it all starts. Because what happens is, in most organizations, hierarchy becomes very important. So if hierarchy becomes very important, automatically the boss is seen as somebody one needs to be frightened of or distanced from. But when I work in the companies, I have experienced or experimented with changing those ways of thinking. So I say, okay, let's do everything together. Let's be, you know, like in one of the companies, I said, okay, let's play basketball together. So one day I remember a lot of people got hurt. Because I like basketball. I called my entire department to come, and some of them came with, obviously they had played for the first time. But the fact is that we had a lot of fun. And fun of being with each other, fun of just caring for each other. So that's where it all starts. But I must say that when one experiences, when you do these things, you cannot do it with the intention of seeing benefits. You do it because you like it. You do it because you believe love is the ultimate force. Because many a times I have noticed, when I do it, it's not that there is any reciprocation which is happening. And I'm quite okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I expect reciprocation, then I will not do it. I remember once I had a very interesting experience with one of my superiors, where I was trying to explain to him this concept of love. And I used a Hindu mythological story to a Britisher. As I was telling him the story, I could see that the person had not understood anything of what I had said. And he was possibly looking at me as if, you know, what's wrong with this guy? But I realized that for me, that was a story which was to be told to myself, not to him. Unfortunately, fortunately, I was telling it to him. He went away with some views, and I was okay with that. So they were, as I say, you know, when you experiment with these things, when you love people, you just love. And when you love in a corporate world, the chances are that you will get hurt.
Yes.
And that's fun. Because the fun of getting hurt is the beauty about love. Because you become closer and closer and closer to Swami the more you hurt in the world. it's such a beautiful thing.
The more this is interesting. The more you get hurt by the world, the more you find yourself attached to the divine.
He kind of hugs you up. You know, he hugs you so tightly because he's so happy. He's happy that somebody is just obeying what he is saying without paying any attention to what's happening to his physical self. I guess that these are all, you know, afterthoughts, but I never thought this way when I did it.
But this is really a huge blessing that, you know, it came naturally to you in some sense, thanks to your upbringing and thanks to Bhagwan's grace, that, you know, you were so convinced about living a life of sharing love.
I couldn't put it better. Yes, I'm completely blessed on that count.
I remember talking to a classmate of mine who has now become an entrepreneur, and I am also someone who really believes in this, in the workplace, at home, everywhere. And so I was telling him, you know, that we can actually get more performance out of our team through love, and you know, in the outside world also it will work. I have not experimented so much in the outside world, but this brother said, you know what, it doesn't really work so easily outside. outside people are utterly selfish. People are generally very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to be very nice to them, you will actually be, on most occasions, be taken advantage of. People are, they work because, you know, they are paid. So everything is looked at in that manner. So sometimes, in fact, if you're too nice to them, and you know, if you are overtly, you express your love for them, they will actually take you for a ride. What are your thoughts on this?
Actually, you're right. It's but as I said, it's fun to be taken for a ride. Because the interesting thing is, Swami gives you the capability of realizing that somebody is going to take you for a ride. And still you love, you know, because you love, because it's not because you're not loving as a process. It is a flow. You can do nothing about it. It just flows. Yes, somebody does not appreciate it. That's not my problem. That's his problem. As far as I'm concerned, what happens? See, when I look at it, there is a larger purpose for my life. My purpose of my life is not to become the head of HR for Tata Steel or to become the global head of HR of some other company. That happens to be a path which Swami has given me to go through. And in that process, he's made me look good. I'm sure it's, if I was to claim that I succeeded, that would be the most stupidest claim I would ever make. He succeeded and he gave me the credit. So many things happen in life. When people look at careers, they say, wow. But in reality, that was not the purpose why I was there. There was a larger purpose, and that purpose was to get back to where I came from. And people say, oh, that's all a lot of philosophy. So, you know, philosophy can be talked about, but that's about it. I say, how can you talk about philosophy? If you believe in philosophy, it has to be lived. You have to realize you have to always remember that there is a purpose, and that purpose is to be back to where you were. And to go back, you have to become as you were always. And that is, there's only one thing, at least I am completely convinced that I am, and I'm sure that is true for every one of us, we are unsullied love. And if that is what we are, then it automatically flows. You are not doing anything. People just experience it. If some people don't like it, it's like, you know, when water flows, some people put their feet in. If they don't like it, they pull it back. If they like it, they leave it there. I can't.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Like, I'm reminded of two thoughts. I remember when I was in the hostel, there was this classmate, brother, who every time he would walk in the corridor, he would wish everyone. If there are 10 boys coming, he would tell Sairam, Sairam Vishu, Sairam Pradeep, Sairam Rakesh. He would do that. Every time he would do that. You know, and I would see, like 60%, 70% of the time, guys are not responding. You know, because each one is busy in their own thing. You know, this guy just loves to wish. And he will do it with the same enthusiasm with everyone. Like, he's hurrying for lunch. He will have the plate, but he would tell that to every person. And I used to think, you know, why does he do it? People are not even acknowledging it. But for him, it was, as you mentioned, you know, it didn't matter to him whether people are acknowledging. He just did it because he just liked to do it. And he always did it with the same intensity, with the same vigor. And it really reminds me of Yudhishthira, where, you know, when he was asked, you know, why is he so particular about dharma? Because in Draupadi, he asks, you know, what has dharma done to us, you know, especially after all that losing the game of dice, and, you know, they are suffering in the forest and all that. So at that time, Draupadi and all the other brothers, they are really questioning his practicing of dharma. What has ultimately dharma given to them? But there, Yudhishthira just says that I follow dharma because I follow dharma. Because I just cannot do otherwise.
actually, if I was to think of that answer, I would say I follow dharma because I am dharma. I don't have a choice.
Yes.
You know, if I have, by Swami's grace, if somebody has been able to reach up to that understanding, then it's only his grace which is letting that thing flow. But I must, however, mention there are good days and bad days in life.
Hmm.
And there are days when you forget the lessons. It's not that, you know, I don't want anybody to believe that I am holier than thou. I am not. There are days when I lost connect. You see, it's a matter of either living in the connect or losing the connect.
Right.
So there are, it's not that I might be 60% or 70 or 80 or 90% disconnected, but I am quite happy with that 10% because that rejuvenates me.
They say every time you love, every time you are expressing kindness, you increase the vibration of the universe.
Yeah, I'm sure. Actually, you know, the interesting thing, and I keep looking at myself, there's so many people I've met who are so capable of, you know, talking about these things and doing, you know, talking it with so much of knowledge. And at times I used to feel a little, jealous of those people. Today I feel, in some sense, I feel that by Swami's grace, I am so lucky that I am dumb. Because if I am dumb, then whatever happens just happens. I don't have to plan and do it. It just flow. I mean, if I have to plan and do many things, then I would be possibly doing it with a lot of calculations. And, you know, not having a capability of calculating is Swami's, is the grace that only Swami can give. Sometimes I used to tell people the biggest handicap that the human being has today is intelligence.
And when you think you have intelligence,
that makes it worse.
Makes it worse.
And so I have heard Swami has at some point in time said, spiritual arrogance is the worst kind of sorts. I don't understand. I mean,
when you are on the path of spirituality and then you think I am spiritual.
Then it becomes a...
Yeah, you're already not spiritual. Anyway, so, sir, can I now ask you, you know, what were you, when you started working, and what were you by the time you had done 30 years of your experiments with love?
Okay, when I started working... I still remember, I used to feel, that was my first job, I remember. I used to feel that, you know, I am superior to others. Because where I was working at that point in time, I was a professionally qualified person. No? So I had come from a place called XLRI. So I used to feel I've got a chip on my shoulder. I used to get beaten up quite a bit. I was quite, you know, now I realize how fortunate I was that I was getting beaten up so badly at times. But at the same time, while that was happening, I used to experience love with people. You know, like for example, in that place, I would go in the evening. I was a youngster, so I used to go and get into the basketball court because it was a colony. And I would have all the children of our employees coming and playing. And we used to, and they would want to know about careers, they would want to know, because that's a small town where I used to work. They wouldn't know much about how to apply for what and all that. And just that relationship with those children made me, you know, it made me feel so good that, you know, I'm of some use to somebody.
Yes.
It was not that, and I wouldn't say that, it was anything spiritual. It was not, at that point, frankly, let me tell you, I never thought so much about love and all that. Just whatever was happening was happening. But in the office space, there was this thing about, you know, I am somebody. Till actually I started understanding what Swami was doing with me, I kept trying to be somebody. Even later on, as I said, there are good days and there are bad days. There are days when you get disconnected. When you're disconnected, you start feeling you have to prove a point, you have to do many things. And the moment you get connected, everything starts happening, but you realize you have nothing to do with it. Things will keep happening.
Yes.
You just have to be present. As when I came here, I remember one of my Sai brothers just said something very simple. He said, you know, and I mentioned to him, look, I have never taught, I have never been anything, you know, in the academic field, and I'm coming here. So he said something very simple. He said, you know, you must realize that Swami doesn't need your capability. He just needs your availability. Wow. And when he said that, it sunk. It made me realize that, you know, I don't have to be bothered about whether I will succeed or fail or anything. Success and failure is something Swami will manage. But interestingly, coming here, you know, especially specific to that question of how I landed here, towards the end of 2013, or middle of 2013, something was telling me that I've done so many years in corporate world and I'm more or less doing something similar every time. So let me now work as a consultant and, you know, advise people, companies on...
Even now the head of HR in...
I was in Federal Bank. I just joined Federal Bank a year earlier.
As the
head of HR.
Head of HR.
Yeah. And I had a very good boss, actually. You know, he's a very nice man. Sometimes I feel bad that I ditched him, but I can blame Swami for it. So, what happened is I decided, my mind was saying this, and before I told my boss, I just sent a one-liner to the registrar here saying that I'm planning to do this. Can I be of any use to the university? And as, you know, and I have...
So how did that thought just came?
Just came. It just...
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue, I said, okay, let me write to the university and see whether I can... Because my mind has always been with the children. Actually, what had happened is, after Mr. Tata came here in 2009 or so...
Yes.
We as a group had opportunities to come here from the Tata company, you know, from the group companies. So I remember, I had come from Tata Steel and I had been specifically chosen because they knew that I had a connect here. And I think that time my son was studying here. So I came along with that group of people, and every time I used to come, I used to find the boys out here. They're so eager to learn something. They're so eager to hear things. So I used to always be I'd become kind of what I would call the universal uncle. So everybody would, and even now the other day I remember when one of the students was going out, I said, I'm so happy you are going out because now you can call me uncle again. So I had become the universal uncle. I'm very happy about it. I just realized how much I love that experience. And so when this thought came that I must start getting into consultancy, one thing was that if I'm in Kerala, I can be useful to many, many universities, many small colleges and all, because there, you know, they have colleges, but they don't have the kind of support that they need. But as a first step, I said, let me check if, you know, university has any use for me. And as luck would have it, the whole thing got trapped in a couple of, maybe a month or so. And actually my boss refused to let me go. You know, so I had a problem because my boss said, you know, no, you can go next year. Then he also used, you know, his other friends to try and cajole me. Then I explained to him that, you know, this is Swami's gift. His, fortunately, some of his family is devotees. So he understood this issue. And finally, it's only sometime in November, December that he took it to the board, because you need board approval for these, you know, movement of these people. And that happened. And once I came here, I was quite happy sitting in one, that corner room upstairs, you know, where Kumar Bhaskar sir used. Frankly, you know, after 30 years of corporate world, you don't have any ambitions for positions and seats and all that. I guess, yes. Even now, I can only see that as Swami's hand, that suddenly they say, will you take over this role? So
you actually joined in the Department of Management Studies.
As a prof, I joined. I didn't know what I would teach, because teaching is not, it's good to take a short training session, you know, 1 week or 10 days. Teaching for 3 months to 6 months is not the easiest of things. And right now, as I say, I was telling the registrar, I'm struggling with correcting answer sheets. You know, that's quite a lot of work. So, everything kind of happened in a miraculous way.
Yes.
And suddenly I found myself being called a position which...
So how has this experience been trying to... Now you have so much opportunity to interact with the students and on a day-to-day basis. And perhaps all the learning of dealing with people and all your experiments with love that you had done elsewhere. Now you have the opportunity to practice it in a completely different environment. Can I say it's a different environment?
Okay, frankly, it's not a different environment. It is an academic environment.
Yes.
But the people that you will interact with are people wherever you go. So,
yes.
Even in this environment, there are ambitious people.
Yes.
There are genuine seekers. There are, in some sense, spiritually intellectual people. You know, that they're different breed of people.
Correct.
And then there are my children.
Yes.
You know, everything else becomes completely irrelevant the moment I am with my children. It is an experience which, I mean, it's just an experience. It's impossible to experience. Now I realize when people used to say that Swami loved his children. Now I realize what it could have meant.
Perhaps it also gives us a feel of why Swami spent so much of his time with the students. I think if you see the way Bhagwan's mission also has progressed, he gave the first attention to this aspect of his mission, the education mission. And today when you see, actually the human resource that he created in the education mission, right from the time he started the Anandpur College or even before that, much before that actually, it is these students who have now filled up the various other missions of Bhagwan, be it the hospital, be it the Vidyavahini or, you know, the Balvikas. Everything was sort of an offshoot of the education mission. And so Swami started this first. And the most interesting thing is, which I always felt, is as different projects came up, you know, Swami would give those projects his attention. For example, if the hospital came in the first year, he would give it a lot of attention. When the water project happened in 95, you know, he did not go anywhere that summer vacation. And he stayed put, he made so many trips in helicopters to see the work going on, etc., etc. So anywhere, whenever any project came up, he would give them their due attention during the initial stages. And then, you know, they would go on their own. And just like, you know, once the little one has become a toddler and a teenager, then he can take care of himself. But this education mission is something which I have always felt always got Swami's attention full time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And there are always fresh batch of students. And even though Swami's time available became less, and as his physical condition also towards the fag end became not so pleasant, even then the lion's share of the time available was always for the students. Even if he was coming out for 2 hours in the whole day, those 2 hours were with the students.
Yeah,
it was always
absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely,
this mission always was the one which got its maximum attention, and now in some sense you are able to relate to it.
Why? I find it at times, you know, it is, you know, I on the last day of college, when they asked me to make a speech because I happened to be in that position, I find it so difficult because, you know, sending your children away.
Yes. It's very difficult. So may I ask you, now that you also have a formal position here and you have to take a lot of decisions regarding the running of the campus in Krishantinilayam, how do you get these instructions from Swami? Is there any particular formula that you follow? How do you connect with Swami to know that, yeah, this is what I should be doing today, or this is the decision that I know, yes, this is how Swami wants me to do? Is there any formula that you follow? Are there any guidelines that help you make decisions?
Okay, I can only say one thing. Swami has given me one fundamental direction. And I won't get into how and all that, but I would just say he's told me in so many words, I'm giving you position, I'm giving you whatever position I'm giving you, and whatever you're thinking, you are on the right direction. Don't be frightened of anything. Take your decision and move on. I will always take care. He said this in so many words to me. I have experienced that saying of his. So I have many a times I still fumble in my own thinking as to is this right or is that right. And sometimes, you know, I have a dilemma because some, you know, there are situations where there could be a conflict, there could be difference of opinion.
Yes.
I realize that one Swami has told me, you are on the right path. You just have to go on the right path. It needs patience.
This is a guidance from within.
This is guidance from within. And it needs patience. Only thing Swami has said is, all in good time.
Yes.
You keep doing it, you keep at it. It's like, you know, you keep hammering at that, you know, with your chisel. When it will break is my decision.
Yes.
But you hammer. Somebody else has hammered earlier. And by the way, I don't think I'm doing anything unique. I'm just carrying on a mission which seniors, elders, whether earlier vice chancellors, earlier directors, earlier principals, whoever they were, whatever they were called, they all carried that mission. Now the mission, the ball is in my hand for now. And he's doing it. I mean, I keep getting, I realize that I can have light conversations with Swami. So I have a photograph of Swami. And I keep, it's a huge photograph in my office. And every time I'm in a bit of a dilemma, I look at him and, you know, say a few things, have cut a few jokes with him. Between him and me, you know, that's the only way I can relate, because you people were lucky to have direct conversations. But my direct conversation is as direct as it could be in this manner. But he gives me, there's always internal guidance I'm getting. Every minute I'm getting internal guidance.
Wow. In fact, on one occasion, Swami said that the unseen Swami is actually much, much more powerful than the seen Swami. And yeah. Swami, that's why he urged all of us to always go within.
And it's, actually, the power is the love. You know, just, there's no, it is not, I mean, the way I see, it's such a powerful thing. Love itself is the power.
Absolutely. Now, coming to brass tacks, if you can just share with our listeners some of the recent initiatives of the campus in the last 1 year or so. One academic year is now winding up. So maybe you can share some of the different projects and the different activities that the boys in the Prashantam campus have undertaken, and which, you know, for you also, having come here, and I think all this was something would have been a new experience.
Absolutely.
And you would have also perhaps felt very heartened by certain developments in the campus.
You know, one thing I must admit, there has been no dramatic thing that has happened. When I talk to students, the specific to my relationship with them, they just feel the fact that there is a relationship going that they are happy about. That is one part of it. A couple of things that we tried to do, and I must admit that we've not as yet succeeded, because these are not initiatives that succeed in 1 year or less. Because it's not, while I have been in that place for 1 year, almost 6 months, I was still trying to understand what is it that I have to do. And I always found there's so many administrative things that I was messing up with. So I used to keep getting, somebody advising me on how to do this or how to do that. One of the things we started, and I think it worked well, but I have not evaluated it, because it's not, if I evaluate it, then it gets into a judgment mode. It was the mentorship program, which had started some years back. It's not that it started now, but there was a feeling that, you know, it had not, it had died a natural death of sorts. So this time, one of the things that we did, made an effort at, was to make mentorship voluntary. Earlier, it seems, our system was that everybody must have a mentor, and everybody should be a mentor or things like that. or some, so we said, let's ask for volunteers. So some people came as volunteers to be mentors. And even amongst the students, we said, you please volunteer as to who needs a mentor. Everybody doesn't seem to, just to make him, you know, you can't run after a student and say, please, you know, I want to be your mentor, or, you know, you can't. So fortunately, around 125 or 130 students of, you know, wanted mentoring. And we were around 25 teachers. I would not say it is a success, but I would say I've heard some students feel very good about it. Some students, and I told the students one thing, mentorship is, being a voluntary activity, is on a demand pull basis. Do not expect the teachers to come, because it's not no use getting the teachers to meet the student compulsorily and then fill up forms saying that I have met the student. That was, I said that's not the intention of this process. The process is, as a student, you have a problem, you have yourself identified a mentor. Most of the time, I even said, students decide who they want to be mentor. Most of them got their mentors, except for a few. So all of them had to just go and pour out whenever they wanted to pour out, or have a conversation on career and things. I found last 1 year a lot of teachers also feeling very proud of the fact that they were playing a role. And I'm sure this is not new, they might be playing even earlier. But this is a process I felt good that, you know, I've seen in the corporate world also, if it is done well, it works.
Yes.
So that's one. Another initiative which we tried, we said we teach TQM a lot, total quality management, but do we practice TQM in our campus? So then we created a small group of young teachers. There was a lot of enthusiasm. Yes. See, there is a lot of enthusiasm. At the same time, there is a lot of criticism on various things. That's part of our, you know, as I said, this place is not any different from any other place. If I thought that I was running away from the corporate world and being in a comfortable cocoon of ashram world, I knew that that's not the reality, and that shouldn't be the reality, because if you try to run away and come here, then you're not, actually your karmas are not completed. So I experience the same kind of people. There are some people who are well behaved, there are some people who may not be so well behaved because of their life experiences. I mean, one can blame anybody, but you know, like if somebody experiences me as loving, it's because I've been given love by God. I'm not loving by my nature. I mean, if I was in a very other situation, I may not have been like this. Because God played his role in making me what I am become, I'm like this. Some teachers may have had some experiences based on which they behave in a particular manner, and that's okay. So Swami is teaching me many things. In this process of the last 1 year, I'm also learning that everything is okay. And the thing that Swami says, you know, time and again is, do you think I make mistakes? So if he doesn't make mistakes, then how can anything be not okay? There will be a good, well-behaved, there will be a Danav, there will be a Manav. There will be a...
Everything is a function of time.
It'll all be there. That's all part of it. Wow. The last 1 year, these couple of initiatives, one initiative which I must give a lot of credit to our Dr. Sai Giridhar, who's the deputy director, is our campus cleaning program. A lot of students, they get so enthused in cleaning up our campus. See, it may appear trivial, but these are all things which make that place look what it is.
Absolutely.
So you can make out, there's nothing very great, nothing great has happened, but whatever has happened has given me joy, maybe some more people also.
No, but I think, many times it may not be easy to put a value or quantitatively say some things, but I think all these initiatives are more in the nature of building that atmosphere of love and binding.
Absolutely.
Everyone.
Absolutely.
Into one wavelength. And I think that is what is the strength, and that is the legacy that, you know, that has to be strengthened. That is the culture of the organization that has to be strengthened. And
absolutely,
then, you know, Bhagwan's mission as usual will go on. And I think, as Bhagwan said, and you know, all the elders keep saying, we don't have to do anything dramatic. Whatever Bhagwan has done, if it just goes on,
that's good enough.
Yeah, that's good enough. And it's really wonderful that Bhagwan, in his infinite mercy, has picked you and given all his blossoms for your, under your care. It was really beautiful talking to you, sir, and I know it's been 1 hour, so we'll pause for now, but this is definitely only a pause, and whenever you have time again, maybe you could share more about these experiments of love, because I think this is something that you must share, and this is something that is so much needed. Many times, you know, we try to do these experiments and we face some roadblocks and we get disheartened, and that's when, you know, a different kind of conditioning happens when it comes to even motivating people, when it comes to getting things done, and that we know is the ultimately the only force of the universe. I mean,
yeah,
that the finest emotion of the universe, the finest power of the universe, but making it work sometimes can be challenging.
Very challenging.
And this is something that you have done a lot of experiments with. So I think I just hope that we'll get more opportunities where you can come and share more about these instances. My experiments with love, you should share about this.
Sure, Bishu. I'm actually, as I said earlier, I'm grateful. And as I said, I'm honored that I have been chosen to come here. Thank you. Thanks
a
lot, Samaira.
The 90th year of Bhagwan Baba's Divine Advent is here. What are you planning to offer at his lotus feet? How about a gift wrapped in red? If you wish to partner with the Sai Healthcare to save a precious life, please take the time to donate blood at the Sri Satya Sai Super Specialty Hospital whenever you are visiting Puttaparthi. The blood bank is open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Every single day, patients undergo life-saving procedures here, and a pint of blood can make all the difference. Let's build a favorable blood inventory. If you're a healthy adult, please donate. For more information, please visit psg.sssihms.org.in. Blood, it's in you to give. Please donate. Sai Ram.
Bye. सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ, नजरों में